and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined by Matt today.
Hello.
And Matt and I have been playing around with a lot of small-scale skirmish games.
We have indeed.
And we actually got quite a lot of feedback on this, on one of the episodes we did before about Westerns.
Yeah, we covered a relatively good sort of spread of rule sets. But one of the ones that we spoke about was one that we hadn't played, so we thought we'd be duty-bound, really, to give it a spin out.
Yes, so we are talking today Dead Man's Hand.
Yep, from Great Escape Games.
Yep.
I don't know, was it about 20, just over 20 quid?
Something like that. I shall, while we talk about it, I will look it up as we go.
Splendid. Off the top of my head, I think it's just over 20 quid for the rule set. It comes with a kind of small deck of cards that also are used during the rules. Full colour print. The cards are nice quality. They are kind of like the half or quarter sized deck of playing cards.
And it's a 46 page rule book. But yeah, as you say, it's full colour throughout. It's on that glossy paper.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And it's really nice. It's a really nice laid out book. There's plenty of nice art. And though you do get to see the same illustrations of heads quite a lot.
And one of my favourite things on the bottom of every page is a quote from a Western.
Yes.
And I really like that.
Page 6, for example, we'll fight with guns if we have them. If we don't, with machetes, axes, clubs, anything!
Nice. My particular favourite, and from our Western discussion from Josie Wells, is, are you going to pull those pistols or whistle Dixie? So, yes, we played our first game, two games, actually, a fortnight ago.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And it was incredibly good fun.
It was. We should explain. So, in the rules, there are four different gangs that you can play.
And there is a promise of more to come on their website.
Well, yeah, there's one I noticed in War Games Illustrated, issue 315, I believe.
Yeah.
And so the four gangs are actually very similar stat-wise. I mean, you can play the Law, you can play the Outlaws, you can play Cowboys, or you can play Desperados.
Yeah.
And what really makes the gangs different, and because the stats are all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
What really makes the difference is that each faction has a couple of special abilities that you can call during the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the Outlaws, who I was playing when we played, have a couple of abilities. One is called Above Snakes, which enables them to modify how they move about. And the other one is called Cheating. And it says, once per game, after all the cards have been revealed, with a smile on his face, the Outlaw player may declare that they're cheating. And you can swap cards around. And in the game that we played, that proved very, very effective.
Absolutely. It was a kind of a game-changing turn for me being able to set up what I wanted to do, and you to then gleefully, I may add, blow my plans out of the water.
Well, it says with a smile on my face.
Yes, yes, I know. It was so pleasant to see that grimacing face from over the way.
So there are four gangs. The stats don't really change between them. You only have a few stats because it's all about movie style cowboy combat.
Yes, it is very and unashamedly cinematic.
Yes. So your stats are, you have hits, which is how many you can take. You have nerve, which is as you get shot at, you have to make tests. And obviously being shot at is not a great thing for you. So your better characters have a lower nerve. And then you have a shoot stat, a hand-to-hand stat, and a reputation. And reputation is how many points that model costs.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I liked the nerve because it's skipping ahead, one of the mechanisms when you're shooting at people, if you don't necessarily hit them and kill them, which, you know, it's a fairly binary effect when you shoot at people. If you hit them, generally you kill them, or you shoot very close to them and you inspire a nerve test. And it's a very much an incremental process where your kind of lesser characters, well, even your main characters, will accumulate these sort of shot at markers and become less and less combat effective as they become more and more scaredy cats.
Yeah, yeah. It works very well. And you need, it's sort of 7 to 8 models a game. And so the reputation for your top bloke, you know, your sheriff or your outlaw boss or something, is like 6. And then you generally get one sort of henchman type.
Yeah.
And then the rest of your crew is made up of, I suppose, juves, young'uns, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then your general gang member.
Yeah, the chaff, if you like.
Yes, I found that it is £20, including the cards.
Which is, I mean, it's about average for a full colour set of rules now, so I don't think that's a bad price point by any means.
Yeah, there is a special offer on their website though, that for £625 you can get everything.
Blimey.
That they make.
Well, I'll have two.
All the buildings and everything is. I know. I wonder how many of those offers they've sold.
Yeah.
Right. So the game.
Yes. Cards. It's you know, with our Malifaux background, we like cards.
Yes,
they use. They used. You have in effect like a handful of cards that you can use. Just to explain, they are a standard deck of the normal suits of cards, running kind of from ace to king. But also on the cards, they have abilities written as well. So you have some of those in your hands. I can't remember if it was 4 or 5 in your hands, and you can play those during the game to either, you know, influence your models, influence your opponent's models, or do kind of suitably cinematic things. The rest of the deck is used kind of as an initiative mechanism, but also a game duration mechanism. So yes. You place one card face up, so you know what the score is, and then place and you can place that against any model, and then you assign a card face down to each model, and once that's done, you flip them all over, and that gives you your initiative order.
Yes, and you play in initiative order, so it's possible that your opponent would get to activate 3 models before you got to activate one of your own.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I really like. You know, brought up on the I go, you go kind of philosophy that's behind a lot of the Warhammer games, I really enjoy games where there is that kind of asymmetrical initiative order. I think it just adds a lot of fun to the game.
Yeah. And as Matt was saying, the cards that you hold in your hand have effects on them. So, for example, the 5 has stumble on it. So when your opponent says, my model's going to move, you can go, right, he stumbles, which means that the model finishes his move but doesn't get to do anything else that turn.
Yeah. And it's just, again, even when you're kind of like the not active player, there is still that option for you to have input into what's going on the table. So, you know, there isn't necessarily that frustration, although, you know, it's very quick moving. So if your opponent is modeling, moving 3 or 4 models, you know, it's not that you're sat there doing nothing, but you can influence what they're trying to do. So, you know, it adds to that sort of cinematic theme. And to a degree, I mean, we were doing it ourselves, and I guess everybody else will, you almost start creating a narrative of what's going on.
Yes.
As the game progresses.
Definitely in our second game, that's where we were getting to.
Yeah.
And we should point out that the game uses D10s and D20s.
Yeah, that was a slight problem for us when we turned up with a handful of D6s each.
Yes, we didn't read properly. So for the first game, we were playing with an app on Matt's phone where it would roll. But then, fortunately, one of the other guys down the club had some, and it did play a lot better.
Yes, when we had dice.
Yeah, and in common with a lot of games these days, the movement rates are fixed.
Yeah.
So effectively, it's all the ranges are in increments of a movement stick.
Yeah.
Similar to how Saga plays.
Yeah.
So if you buy the optional little counter set that you can get, it comes with a little measuring stick, and it's a 10 centimeter piece of wood.
Yeah.
But it was actually very useful just to be able to, rather than putting a tape down.
Yeah.
And just be able to go measuring stick. So I would actually recommend that people pick up or just make. I mean, like I say, it's a 10 centimeter stick. So.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say the counters that you had, they were superb, really nice counters. I'd certainly recommend picking a setup if you're getting the rules. I don't know how much extra they are, but they give you all of the counters you need, including kind of the, I can't remember what the actual term is, but the I've been shot at type markers.
Yes. They are £8 for the token, for the,
That's really good value, because I think they were superb quality.
Yeah, it shows you get... So basically, you get two actions for each model when you activate. And so you can do things like move, shoot, aim, then shoot, that sort of thing. So it gives you tokens for showing whether a model's moved, whether it's double moved, whether it's out of ammo, because if you roll a natural one when you're shooting at something, that's you're out of ammo. I had a moment where my gunslinger, with both her pistols, she snuck up behind the evil Mexican boss. She was going to shoot him in the back, and she rolled a one.
Click, 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 click. Damn it!
She'd forgotten to load her six shooters.
Yeah.
And then the really useful things, I think, is the under fire markers, which is what we were talking about. That you can build up if you continually shoot at a character, but you don't kill them. You can build up the pressure on them, and they have to start making what are called nerve tests.
Yeah.
And the more markers you put on a model, the harder it is to make the nerve test, because effectively a nerve test is you have to roll, you know, for your boss, it's 2+. For your basic young'uns, it's 6+. And so you start putting fire markers on, and that's sort of deducting one from your dice roll. It's much harder to get to that number.
Yeah. But you can use up some of your two APs. You can start rallying those counters off. So there is that option. And it's, you know, as I say, it's a good mechanism, because what it is, it's about the person hiding behind the water trough as the bullets rain in, having to gather their nerve before they can jump out and get back into it.
That's right. Right. So the way that you play, again, in the whole cinematic thing, is one game actually consists of three games.
Yeah.
Because you play in what are called scenes, which are sort of scenarios that are set up, and they follow on from each other, and you play through the three scenes to determine who actually wins the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are four scenes in the main rulebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've seen they've got a forum, and some people are kind of writing new scenes up there. But it is, again, it adds into that cinematic thing of it's very much kind of Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. So you're working through a story arc to the sort of the final gunfight in Act 3. Again, brilliant. I love that mechanism. I just thought it, because the games are very quick, I think, you know, we played very quickly. Bear in mind, it's the first one time we played two games in the space of kind of 2 hours.
If it took us that long to play,
I was gonna say it probably didn't even take that long. So, you know, it is absolutely viable to play through the three games that make up a story arc in an evening's kind of gaming session.
Yeah, so if we look at one of the stories, I mean, the first story is The Good, the Lead, and the Ugly, and it has three scenes: The Stranger, This Town Ain't Big Enough, and We Will Be Waiting. So what a scene does is it sets out the cast, which is basically the crews that you're using. So in The Good, the Lead, and the Ugly, the cast for the first scene is the bad guys have three dudes, and the good guys just have a single gun hand. The story so far is a stranger wanders into town, and some of the local hoodlums decide to see how far they can push him.
Yeah.
So basically, it's Pale Rider.
Well, it's Pale Rider. It's the beginning of A Fistful of Dollars. A great number of any of those films where, you know, somebody...
Clint gets to beat people.
Yeah. You need to apologize to my mule. He's upset.
Yeah. So that's the first one, and it's as Matt was saying, the cards can control the length of the game. So one of the end conditions for this scene is the stranger's deck runs out of cards. So the stranger has to push on. He can't just hide. He's got to push on through his game, and he's got to fight the goons.
Yeah.
If you will. And then the second scene, this town ain't big enough. You have 21 reputation per side, which is as big as it gets, and that's sort of the 7 to 8 figures.
Yeah.
And the story so far is after the incident with the stranger, one side wants to settle the score and plots to deliver murder in the streets. And there are things that fold back into the previous iteration, the previous version. And then the final one is the story, with only a few of the good guys in town, the bad guys set up a posse to kill them. Fully aware of the coming showdown, the good guys set up at one end of town. And you get some extra cards into your hand if you won the previous scene.
Yeah.
And then you just go for it, and you just shoot out. So the scenes we played, we had a bank robbery, didn't we?
Yes. Yes.
The evil Mexicans were trying to rob.
Just because I'm Mexican doesn't mean I'm evil.
Were you the bank robbers?
Yeah, I was a little bit.
Yeah. And it says it does specifically say good guys and bad guys.
Yes. Yes, I was wearing my black hats. You were wearing your white hats.
Yes, and my poor, hard-working girls of the Seamstresses Guild.
Yeah,
you were robbing them of their hard-earned cash.
Yes, they had spent many days on their backs earning that.
Yes, and it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. As I say, we spoke through in the where we talked about the Westerns about some of the rule sets we played. It within that space of those couple of games we played. Immediately became my favourite Western rule set.
Yeah, it was really really good. It finished with one of my girls with her shotgun blasting the last Mexican in the back as he was trying to run away
with the loot,
bags of coins.
Yeah,
and he just you could just see it, the shotgun going, him flying through the air.
Yeah,
to lie in a heap.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's watched any Western films will immediately, it will make you think of those best kind of the cheesy grin moments out of any Western that you've ever seen. They exactly serve the purpose that they set out to serve.
Yeah, yeah. So, there's a new gang in War Games Illustrated.
Yeah.
Which is the Citizens. I haven't actually seen it yet. I have a copy on order, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah.
And the rumours are that there's going to be another book, either at Salute or just after Salute.
Oh, that'll be cool.
That's going to offer some more stories and some more gangs.
Yes, I would imagine at some point we'll see some Apaches and
I would think
Mexicans and the like, and all of those great archetypes out of those films.
Yeah. So that's that. Figures. I mean, we talked about it before. Yeah. We were both using Black Scorpion figures.
Yeah. Yeah, they are great. But for those that don't know about them, I suggest you go back into the Fool's Daily Archive and listen to our one around Westerns, where we discuss quite a lot of our favourite figures.
Yeah. So, we're well over time.
Yeah, I figured we might be.
So, until next time, I've been Mike.
And I've been Matt.
Bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.